B-Pod Studios.
The following podcast is PG. May contain sketchy advice, embarrassing anecdotes, and may not be suitable for parents who think they have their shit together.
This is PG with Roxanne Wilder.
So happy to have Nikki DiBartolo and Ben Helfond in here talking about our happy divorce.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. We're excited.
So you look at the title of this book, Our Happy Divorce, How Ending Our Marriage Brought Us Closer Together. That really says it all, but this is such an interesting concept. Let's back up and say, let's talk about your marriage. We got to start at the beginning, right?
It wasn't like a terrible divorce. There was no abuse. There was no, there just wasn't any, like living with a roommate. There was no passion.
Oh, okay.
There was no, I was young too. And I think when you're at that stage sometimes, and I think a little side note, at least millennials, you know, they get a lot of crap, but at least now. One thing they're doing right is the marriage thing. They're waiting.
They're waiting.
Right? And so Nikki and I were, she was
early,
in the 20s. I was in my 20s. We had been dating a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of just one of those things where, okay, society tells us we're supposed to get married, right?
That's so right. Yeah, it's the next logical step.
Meanwhile, if you go back to the marriage, along those steps, there were a lot of red lights.
Mm-hmm.
That Nick and I just sort of pushed through and ignored. And those red lights were, do not get married. Do not get married.
And sometimes you'll have that friend that tells you that, but they're not going to stop you. You're on the fast-moving train to the altar with your wedding dress and your fantasy of everything that marriage is supposed to be. But Nikki's sister, Lisa, had a little bit of some intuition there. She said she wanted to tell Nikki to put the brakes on it.
She did? What?
She goes, I wanted to tell you. She goes, but I knew your reaction. Because your reaction would have been like, bleep, you know, Lisa, forget about it.
Right. You can't, especially when you're still, I mean, even if it's a couple years in, you're still in the honeymoon phase of wanting to get married.
Well, that's interesting.
See, this
more will be revealed. I mean,
this is breaking news segment.
Yeah, breaking news. Right, Lisa didn't like me. Well, we always knew she didn't like me.
No, it wasn't that she didn't like you. She just didn't know.
Think we were together.
Yes, yeah. Together.
Which is right. I mean, you look back on it, and you know, Nikki was sick, literally, at our wedding in the reception, had to take off her sign. And I'm getting ready, and I have my tux on, and I'm in the mirror, you know, doing my hair, and I'm looking at myself, and I this is no hyperbole. I'm looking at the mirror and going, you shouldn't do this.
Really,
this is not right.
And I think it's not. Now sitting here with both of you, I can tell how much fondness you have for one another. So it was hey, is this right for me at this point in time?
Right.
And I think too, I've been through this. My first marriage, it was a matter of we had too many calamities for a 20-something year old couple to survive. You don't have the wherewithal to get through that stuff. Yeah. So you did have a child together, though.
Yeah,
that's the silver lining.
There it is. That is the silver lining. Makes it all worth it.
Mm-hmm. So then when you're kind of explaining your divorce a little bit, you're going through the divorce, and there wasn't a lot of animosity, it sounds like, which is good. Or did you have your rough patch?
We definitely had our rough patch.
Yeah, and I think it was just a culmination, especially on my side. It was just a culmination of breaking up, getting back together, a lot of resentment building up until one day it just exploded.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything major. It was just there was this period where Nikki and I were trying to get back together, trying to work it out. And she said she wanted to work it out. And Nikki has a great way of, quote unquote, convincing, you know, that things are going to be different, right? And so I think when I look back, I was in love with the woman that Nikki said she was going to be or wanted to be. This was at the time. Okay.
Ouch.
No. But this is at the time when I thought it was all your fault, right?
You grab that knife out of my back.
No.
Please.
This was before. This was at the end of our marriage. Mm-hmm. So the story goes on. I'm sure we'll talk about it. But it was all Nikki's fault, right?
In my mindset,
right. And it was all her fault. And I was in love with the person that she said she was going to be, or that I wanted her to be, and then it exploded one day. And so in the beginning of it, it was headed the wrong direction from where the book is, which is our happy divorce.
Because you have to divide, and divide is divide and conquer.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how right. you have to kind of have that mindset. We're splitting up. I have to do what's going to be best for me. So you suddenly become selfish.
Yeah.
So what were you thinking, Nikki, when you're like, okay, I know, I, with all due respect to you, Ben, as a mom, isn't it like, oh my gosh, I just want to fight for this because I don't want my child to not have two parents. I think women think about that more than
100%. And the fact that my parents have been married, well, now almost 50,
that's right.
like 51 years. So that's all I ever knew. Mm-hmm. I didn't know divorce as Ben knew divorce. So for me, it was like, okay, how old was I? I was probably, what, 30?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to be this single mom living in Tampa, which I actually love now, but I didn't then.
Right.
And I'm like, what am I going to do?
Right. See, it's you guys have it so easy because as a woman, you sit there and you're like, okay, now I'm bringing baggage to a relationship. You know what, Ben, you bring to a relationship as a single dad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this guy's responsible.
Yeah.
This
right.
guy has his act together. He uh-huh. was
oh,
able
such
to commit.
Cute kid.
Yeah, and such an adorable kid that we're just going to see on the weekends.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and
I was scared to death.
Yeah. And look,
if I'm
honest, you know, which you know, I had to be through this whole process. There was I went through some of that too, you know,
okay.
But it wasn't necessarily about, I guess the themes were the same, but, you know, being a divorced dad,
mm-hmm.
you know, and meeting a new woman, I have to say that, you know, cause I don't know what it's like if women meet a divorced dad mm-hmm. or divorced guys, like that's failure to me, right? That's something like,
that?
Oh, this guy, you know,
I can see what
probably
people think
maybe
that.
Not the best. You know, husband material.
Who wants to marry him now?
Right. He's already been through it. You know, he has a record of not so good success in marriage. So this is, you know, all the things that go through. And I think everybody, and that's why it's so difficult, is there's so much emotion. It's like a fruit salad of emotion. Every,
right.
you know, negative sort of destructive emotion happens in divorce.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think, too, you have an identity issue because
right.
you see yourself as part of a couple, and that's what you strive to get to yeah. from your 20s, and now you're like, I'm not part of that couple anymore.
No, and
who
you
am
just
I?
Start doubting yourself.
Yes.
Everything you thought was normal
mm-hmm.
becomes completely different.
Right.
So you just, I mean, that's for me, I just started doubting myself.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing for me is, and Nikki alluded to it earlier, my parents' divorce. And, you know, I didn't want to repeat
I
the
know.
Cycle, right?
Yes.
So
especially with
that,
a child.
Especially with that, because theirs was not great. And so even when I got married, I was like, I'm not going to get divorced. I'm not going to do this thing. I don't think anybody actually goes into marriage thinking they're going to get divorced.
Right. No, but, of course
right,
not.
Right, right.
right.
But for me, when that happens, like, oh, my gosh, mm-hmm. I ended up like my parents.
I know.
And it's like everybody's worst nightmare. My parents are great. They're still in my life. They're wonderful people. I loved them to death, but I think some of the time it's like, I don't want to repeat the cycle. But then when it happens, you're like, oh my God.
Right. So you two, or I should say you, Ben, with your parents, you know this feeling. I had this feeling when I was growing up, and my parents had an amicable divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it really got to the point where I realized my friends who have parents who are together, y'all are a team. Like, you know, Ben, your mom's going to tell you everything she hates about her dad and vice versa. So you didn't want that for your son. So is that when did you start to turn the corner?
Well, I think I probably turned the corner way before you did.
Yeah.
But just to the point where I didn't have that growing up.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
for me, in my head, it was like, how am I going to do this where I'm not screwing up this kid's life?
Sure.
Where to make his life as normal, per se, as possible in a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is where the story sort of takes that turning point for the better.
Sure.
Is, like I talked about, I was so full of anger. I was so full of resentment. All I could do was point the finger at Nikki. It was all her fault. You know, I had no part in it. And all that was, I was using that as ammunition to back up my theory or justify my behavior
mm-hmm.
of, you know, I went out and got this big lawyer. I paid.
See, I didn't
big...
know you went through all this because it's seeing you now.
Yeah. Right. No,
so this
no,
is good
so
to hear.
Yeah, this is the turning point. And I went out and I got him and he was, you know, sort of sprinkling the gasoline on the fire, and he was he was backing up and supporting my behavior and the way that I wanted to embarrass Nikki and her family, you know, in the public realm and just destroy her.
Right.
And so I paid him a retainer. I gave him the document. We had a prenup, and he took a very big check for me as a retainer. And about 2 weeks later, he sent me, we met, and he sent me, or gave me, I call it the War and Peace Action Plan on how we're going to, you know, attack, you know, attack plan, right? And I, for some reason, unconsciously, I kept it in my backpack. And I kept it in my backpack for like 2 weeks. And I didn't want to read it, and I didn't pull it out for whatever reason, you know, until finally I'm on a flight back from L.A., and I, you know, I open up the book, War and Peace, and I start reading it. And I literally only got like two or three pages into it. And maybe on that third page was a moment of clarity for the first time in since I left. First time in a while, actually, with our relationship. But first time since I left the house, I got that feeling that, you know what? If you go down this path, you are going to have the same outcome as your parents.
You realize what it all meant, seeing it writing like that. Wow.
And I got sick to my stomach. And I was like, I can't, if I go down the path, I'm going to have the same outcome my parents, and Asher, we're going to give him this huge emotional bill for him to pay when, in something he had absolutely no choice in. You know, so at that point, I put it away. I never read it again. And that was the turning point where it wasn't about, you talk about selfish, like after the divorce and me, we had to do something differently than think about ourselves.
I have a random question about this, and I don't think I've ever asked you. Did you call this lawyer and say, hey, by the way, like, I just want to know, like, his reaction to what you called him and said? Like, I never asked that question.
After or before? After I read the
after that.
Right, so Monday
morning. No, that's what I want, like, because I don't think I've ever asked that.
So Monday morning, I called him and said, you know what? I started reading War and Peace. I want to go a different direction. I don't want to do this, you know, the quote-unquote, the old-fashioned way, right? I want to find a different solution. I'm going to hire a new lawyer. Can you send me back the remainder of the...
He's like, ha-ha, no.
So no. I paid him, you know,
that check cashed, and we're moving
on. I paid him
to...
10 grand as a retainer, you know, and he sent me a check back for $1,300.
Oh, my gosh.
So it cost me that, and that was another sort of burning bush or moment of clarity. We are going to, if we go down that route, we are going to spend way too much money that could go to our kids eventually, whatever. But it would, look, at the end of the day, it was the best $8,700 I've ever spent.
Right. Oh,
because I got to that point of we have to find a different way.
How many years ago was that about?
13
oh, wow.
Years ago.
Okay. So from that point, things started to make an ascent upwards. And I always think it's interesting, but when you spend any significant amount of time with someone, especially the commitment of a marriage, you loved that person at one time deeply. You got each other.
Before
you lived
together. Even before you got married, right? I mean, it's based on, you know, love and you know, first maybe passion and then love and then in love. And
I think that's what people forget along the way. Like, no matter what happens in your marriage, people always say to us, oh, you guys are really best friends. And I'm like, we are.
Right.
So they always ask how we got there. And I said, we were there before we got here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you just have to figure out a way to find that back. No matter what happens in your divorce, you were best friends first.
Yeah.
Nikki was amenable. You were amenable to that early on then in this whole process.
I mean, I didn't love him during this.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I kind of wanted to poke his eyes out.
And look, that's the thing that is important in this process for people going through it is, yes, the name of the book is Our Happy Divorce, and yes, our life.
But we did the drop-offs of, like, not looking at each other, not talking to each other, having somebody else do it.
Right.
There
was a period there, you know, first the way I was behaving, you know, the way that I didn't want to, you know, see her. It was all her fault. All this stuff we had talked about. We didn't snap our fingers after that, even after that plane ride.
Right.
You know, and make it all better. And all of a sudden we're best friends. It was a process. And so the first thing that I did when I got after I got off the phone with my lawyer and fired him, I called Nikki and I said, look, I just need some time. Before we even start talking about divorce, I need some time for myself. I need some time to take, you know, an inner look at myself and come up with some answers. And so, look, even through the process of until we got finally divorced, it wasn't easy. It wasn't. We still had all these emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, I still had all this anger. Still had all this stuff. But we just had decided that.
We didn't like each other during that period.
No, right. So that's the thing, is it wasn't all of a sudden like, okay, Ben had this burning bush, and now we're best friends.
Heel
right.
And we're like, okay, here we go.
Best friends, happy divorce, right?
You know what? Sometimes you don't like each other after you had a child.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't like each other after one of you changes a job.
Right.
Divorce is essentially a life transition in the relationship of two people who have a child together,
yeah.
and you see how you grow through it and transition
right.
through it.
Yeah.
100%.
And we had to, I think the biggest part and the turning point, and again, it didn't just...
What's your line that we use all the time?
What's that?
We had to fake it till we made it.
Right. But we right. really did. Like, mm-hmm. we had decided to do what's best for Asher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think the way that I was going, at least, it was all about me. I was blinded. And I had that moment of relatedness with my parents. I was so blinded by anger, resentment, fear, and all this stuff that I really... was blind to the fact of what I was going to do to my son until I had that moment.
Wow.
Right. So I think that for me, going back and looking at my parents' divorce, like they didn't intentionally
mm-hmm.
do what they did. Right. They didn't intentionally talk about the other one in front of the thing. It was just something they were so blinded of all that emotion that they were just head down, not going, oh my God, I just said that to my son about his dad or vice versa. And so blinders on, not intentional. And I was there. And until I had that moment of clarity, could I see that, you know, I was being so selfish and acting so selfishly and not caring about Asher's well-being.
You know, what's funny too, though, is you do that for Asher.
Yeah.
You have forgiveness for Asher, but really you're helping yourself because we're only victims of our own resentment. When we walk around and say someone got the best of us or we're mad at someone, it's just eating us up.
Right. For me, I may not have started out that way, but I'm not the kind of person that if you're coming at me like that, oh. What, you laugh over there?
No, I don't laugh. I'm laughing in agreement.
I'm definitely not going to back down.
She's a pit bull.
Yeah,
so I mean, you brought up a good point, the forgiveness. And that's what I was trying to say. The turning point was, I said I needed some time to work on myself, which I did. I've been, you know, lucky enough to be sober for 25 years. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And it was, you know, I guess 15 at the time, but had enough... I guess foundation of my sobriety that I knew I had some tools to be able to work through this process, mm-hmm. right? And so I sat down, I took a inventory of myself, and basically what we did was it was an inventory of myself,
mm-hmm.
not an inventory of Nikki's. Like
I
this
mean,
whole,
I'm sure he had a little file of me in the back.
but see, the inventory I had been doing at the
here's
end.
Here's your checklist, right. Nikki. Here's what you need to work on.
During our marriage, towards the end of our marriage and after our marriage, I was taking Nikki's inventory.
Mm-hmm.
It's her fault.
Yep.
You know, and it was just all ammunition to, you know, like I said, justify my behavior. But this process was all about me,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was all about my part and all about, you know, it wasn't. Once I started going about but, you know, if or and anything after that, like, but Nikki did this, and mm-hmm. but, you know, and so at the end of this process, I looked at it, I read it with another man, or I shared it with another man out loud, and I was like, oh my God, I wouldn't want to be married to me either. You know, I was not a good person.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a terrible person, but I wasn't a good husband. I was a father, a good father, but I wasn't a great father.
Mm-hmm.
I was complacent. You know, I let Nikki pick up a lot of the slack and you know, I was sort of when needed. So first having that moment of like, okay, you're not, you know, Nikki is right.
Nikki's Nikki.
but you know, I wouldn't have been want to marry you either. You know, or mm-hmm, me either. Mm-hmm. So that was a big thing.
Realization.
And I had to first forgive myself for, you know, all that other stuff about the failed marriage and we talked about earlier. But I had to forgive myself And then the next process was asking Nikki to coffee one day. And that is where this thing...
That was the turning point.
Yeah,
so is that where the book picks up? Does it talk about when... does it give clues on how to get
stuff
through?
From the beginning?
Okay.
Yeah.
It goes through the whole process. You know, we don't... if you're looking for a soap opera, if you're looking for a villain... this book's not for you,
mm-hmm.
Because there's no villain. We don't talk about the dirty details of our marriage or what, because, like I said, at the end of the day, all that stuff doesn't matter.
Sure.
Right? All that stuff does is, like I said, people use it as ammunition, like the details.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's her fault. She did this. But what we both came to realize is that it takes two to make it, and it takes two to, you know, ruin the relationship. So we were able to get to that point of it doesn't matter what
the
happened.
The details don't necessarily matter. It's what you do with.
Absolutely don't matter.
No.
Right. It's what.
But you still, like, I mean, emotionally, you have to work through things. You have to work through those details. But to everybody else, they don't really matter. It's mm-hmm. where we are today that matters.
And the other thing also is our shining light, North Star, whatever you want to call it, was we decided to do what's best for Asher.
Sure.
So every decision we made, that
you
was
just
the North
looked
Star.
At how is he going to feel?
It wasn't how it affects us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not how.
At that point, it's not about us.
Right. Right.
And so
it may not be better for us at that point, but
it's
it doesn't
for
matter.
Asher. Yeah.
So looking at pictures, Nikki and I are friends on Instagram, so I get to see the whole family together. And so we're going to fast forward a little bit because the book's going to tell us a lot of this journey along the way and mm-hmm. tips how to do this. I would imagine if you are parents going through this, an example. But now we see you, your husband, Chad, Ben's wife, Asher, you're all together when you do things if you take a trip together,
mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people go, well, that's weird. I don't say that. Because
no,
everybody
really
says
weird.
That's weird. I mean,
right.
For a while, our families, like in the beginning, our families were like, excuse me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I mean, not even, they really like it. Like, no, we really do.
Yeah.
I mean, it works. I mean, you have to get through the weirdness of it.
You know, I would think that would make jealousy from both of you as separate parents with your new spouses, that would mitigate some of that, because it's not like Asher's going to Alaska with dad. And then, I mean, I'm not saying you do every single thing together,
right.
But a trip together, you don't have to come back and hear the details and be like, oh, I missed him seeing
exactly.
that glacier or that.
I mean, because you know, as a mom.
Yes.
It would be hard for mm-hmm. you to see another woman with your children.
Yes. Yeah. That was definitely something that we had to
emotionally for me, it was that part of it was difficult.
So I think that you do that, my guess is, by becoming friends with this person and having obviously Asher's first, what's going to make him comfortable, but then becoming friends with Ben's wife.
And realizing, you know, she wants what's best for him and you know, she loves him, I won't say as much as I do.
But close second.
Very close second.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's all you can want for your child.
Exactly.
Is to have somebody else that's going to love him like you do.
Exactly. I think, too, there's some dynamic there because I want to see. So, obviously, you two are friends. You
yes.
and Ben. I'm sorry. What's Ben's wife's name?
Nadia.
Nadia.
Got it. So, you and Nadia are friends. And I think there is something. You have one or two people in this world. Either the one person who breaks up with someone or they break up with them and they move forward and they have blinders on. And they don't even want to talk about the past. It's over. And I would never want to cross-pollinate with old loves or whatever. And then you have other people where that was in the past. Your relationship that was something more than friendship and parenting was in the past. You appreciate him, you get him, so you probably have a lot in common with that new person, right?
We do. And taking him out of the equation, she and I would still be friends.
You just have to be open to that.
I mean, sometimes maybe I give her advice.
Yeah, well, you both have been to hell and back. I mean, you've both been married to me. So it's power relatedness is a super strong connection. But,
uh-huh.
you know, I think that's the other thing. When we talk about ego and
yes.
taking ego out of it is Nadia and Chad have bought into what we're doing and are behind it, you know, 100% to the fact of the extreme of, I should say, that Chad, before he asked Nikki to marry him, asked me to coffee, actually the same coffee shop where Nick and I made amends to each other. But asked
this
me,
is so cool.
But
what
asked me
story.
If it's okay yeah. if he married Nikki. He hadn't asked her yet.
Oh
so
my
he basically
gosh.
Asked me for, you know, permission to marry Nikki. And
I hope he asked Mr. D too.
Yeah, you know he did, but like
I think they both gave the same answer.
Bottom line, if I said no, he was still going to do it. But it was just, it was the gesture that I had turned. I had respected Chad at that point, but even more so.
What was your answer?
I said, are you sure you want to do that?
I think that was both their answers.
I said, are you sure you want to do that? I go, no. And then I thanked him for taking her off my hands. But the other thing about the step-parents that I think talk about ego is they've taken it out and they've bought into what's best for Asher, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, when Chad is with Asher, today, my first reaction is jealousy, is, you know, I can't believe this guy's with my son going to fishing down in Key West. It's primal. But I have to, like, actually go through this process of, in my head, going, you know, this discussion in my head that it's what's best for Asher is that he go spend a weekend fishing with his stepdad. You know, that is a good thing, you know, not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I need to put my ego outside and just realize that Chad's a great guy. He's great for Asher and he's great for Nikki.
I think it's like too, when you, I mean, I told myself this as a child of divorced parents, it's compounding interest. It's like you have more parents, you have more people to bounce things off of. Yeah. You have people, adults with more experience in their lives to offer you. So it's just more for Asher to benefit from.
Definitely.
That's such a good point. Like I never,
that was one of the thoughts when I was like going through questions in my head that I said, even as a parent, there's more of us to bounce things off of when it comes to him.
Yes.
Because I don't always know all the answers, even though I think I do.
Yeah. And the greatest thing also what's so great about Nadia and Chad is they understand, I don't say lack of better word. I don't mean to say, but their role, right? They're not going to make.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. But they understand.
You know your place.
Like, yeah.
Like, but as far as parenting Asher, right? Like
yes,
they don't
exactly.
Like major decisions. They understand that Nikki and I are, you know, the parents of Asher. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to go ahead and make a unilateral decision. You know,
they're not going to send him to. They wouldn't have sent him to like X school when we said no, we're going here. Mm-hmm.
Like Nadia knows that she's not Asher's mom.
Sure.
And
she doesn't try to be.
She doesn't try to be. Thank you. That's what I meant by Rose. She doesn't try to be Asher's mom. Yes, she will discipline him when, you know, I'm away or whatever. But they talk, Nikki and Nadia, about Asher. You know, Nadia brings a background in, she's a therapist, social worker. So she understands, you know, I think Nikki trusts her opinion. You know, when it comes time, Chad and I talk about it from a father's man perspective. Mm-hmm. So again, more people to the table who can give their input.
And I think I know why Chad was so eager to get your blessing is because really he has you to thank in a way, because Nikki probably learned some things about marriage
better wife that now that I was then.
I've known her for
and vice versa. Yeah. Nadia can thank Nikki.
If anybody ask me, I'm going to deny saying this, even though it's on tape. But like,
I'll play it in reverse.
I've known her for 20-something years, over 20 years. And when I met her, she was 22 years old. She was young, doing what a 22-year-old is supposed to do, right? But she has grown as a woman more, even after having Asher, but since we've gotten divorced, than I could possibly, you know, even imagine that Nikki, you know, this crazy, young, loud party girl,
really,
but it's
nice.
True. I mean, she's become a woman. You know, I just, you know, got the short end of the stick.
You got the short.
I got the crazy.
It was so
I got the crazy
until this part. Yeah,
I got this crazy wild Nikki. Right.
What else would you get from a 20-something?
Right. Yeah. Right. She was being. She's exactly what she was supposed to be doing.
Yes.
You know. So
age-appropriate behavior.
But,
my fault thinking that at that point in time I could settle down.
Right.
But
right.
Fast forward. Look at this child we have.
And I think that takes a good man in her life, or the right man in her life, and you know, just like Nadia, and I
had to get to a place with myself,
right,
that made me be able to be the person I am today.
I'm most impressed by your abilities to be like, okay, and I know there are moments like you said with Chad fishing, but just to put that any sort of jealousy aside and push through it or whatever it takes, because that's what when people say, oh, this is strange.
No,
they can't deal with it themselves.
I mean, for me, I definitely have that. What is Nadia, 10 years younger than me?
No, less. She's gonna
nine?
Be, no, she's like 6 years.
But still, she was still like that.
The younger woman.
Yes,
yes.
Of course. That I would have, I so mean, you, thank God.
You
thank
made
God
comparisons.
Left some of the ones he dated in the background.
Oh, boy. Not going there. That could be a whole other thing.
We women compare ourselves. We how do we stack 100%. Up against this person? That's kind of how
and
we.
Big secret, men do too. At least yes. I did
so
too.
When I first met this like beautiful younger girl, I mean that's a little
intimidating, but like it's a check. It's a check.
Yes, 100%.
Yes.
So I had to just go, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Hopefully
and,
she's sweet.
And look, jealousy on again because they play such an important role.
I'm Italian.
Right? Oh yeah,
but what happens.
but the step parents play such an important role, not only in
they
our
do.
Life now, but in this happy divorce. Because without their support and without their, you know, believing in what we're doing and also living what we're doing, mm-hmm. one cog in that wheel,
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Right.
You know, so
one bad attitude.
Nikki
yes.
and I go to L.A. I stay at her place. Nadia doesn't question it once. Chad doesn't question it. You know, we just got back from a trip from South Africa mm-hmm. with just Nikki, Asher, myself.
Wow. Now, that's pretty remarkable that the three of you were on a trip together. And I think people will come and make judgments about that from, I don't want to say a point of immaturity, but it's like, oh, yeah, were they really staying at each other's houses and nothing was going on? But maybe what someone who might make that judgment is missing is that the two of you have evolved into different people away from a romantic relationship. Maybe it's brother-sister.
Real
maybe
humans.
It's, yeah. In other words, that was a moment in time, the attraction, the physical
right.
attraction.
100%.
And now it's, you know, yeah. that goes away.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you talk about jealousy or whatever, is that we are happy people,
mm-hmm.
right? We are.
You want to enjoy life.
We're enjoying life, but we're with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
We're married to the person we're both meant to be with.
Right.
And that's the picture that if you take a step back and people take a step back. Like I have friends who are divorced, remarried, have kids, sort of in the same situation mm-hmm. where, but they still hold on to all this anger towards their ex. And if you just take a step back.
It's a waste.
Why are you angry?
Well, if you're divorced, you probably weren't meant to be with that person anyways.
Right.
But you're
no matter what the reason is.
But,
right.
But you're happy.
Right.
And you can't take a step back and go, wait a sec. If I hadn't gotten divorced from this woman or man, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
So it's like that's the beautiful thing. And that's where Nadia and Chad don't go, oh, you know, when I told Nadia that I was going to Africa with Nikki and Asher, I knew she couldn't go because we have two young kids at home, but the reaction wasn't, oh, hell no, you're not going to mm-hmm. South Africa or Africa with your ex-wife. You know, how dare you? There's no way over my dead body. She's like, that's great. Asher would love it.
That's amazing.
Was her reaction.
Yeah, so
right?
we got to give shout out to Nadia and
no
Chad.
No question.
I mean, it
yeah.
covered both of them. I think they both thought that, like, you know, Chad's thinking was, this is something he's would really appreciate doing with the two of you.
Right.
Right.
Like instead of having everybody else around.
That's cool too. For them
like,
for them
hey,
to have that selflessness.
You two do this.
Yeah.
This was something you've planned since they were young, since uh-huh. he was a baby. You guys do it.
Yeah.
I love it. Where can we find the book?
Anywhere. Amazon.
Where books are sold.
Where books are sold.
Books, yes.
Amazon.
Your phone.
Amazon.
Phone. Google it. Download it.
Our publisher is Mascot Books. So mascotbooks.com. You can find it there, but probably, you know, one click, Prime, Amazon.
But wait. Didn't you do a 2-for-1 for divorced couples?
We did.
Oh,
we did.
Good.
So,
okay.
So that's on our, the link is a very long link, so I don't have it with me, but it's, if you go to our Facebook page, Our Happy Divorce, or Instagram or Twitter, it's all Our Happy Divorce. We're, because it takes two is the whole premise, right? But it takes four, too, to make this wheel go.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of math.
And
it's a lot of math. Way too much math.
Right. But the fact is that, if one of these people, if Nikki didn't buy into to what we were trying to do,
mm-hmm.
or if I wasn't willing to do what we were wanting to do, it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So we figured, wait, if one person reads this book, it's not really going to work.
Right.
Right. But if two people, the two people divorcing read this book, they have maybe have a better chance of wanting something else.
Especially
right?
if they read it together.
So, right. So we have allowed a 2-for-1 a 2-for-1 special. So it's look, Nikki and I don't want to. I don't think we will because we've invested so much into this thing. But it's not about the money and the fame or whatever. It's like we want to help people. We want to just at least give some people an example that, like, if Nikki and I can do it, you have no excuse.
Right.
Right.
There
because
you
we
go.
Are too hard headed. Alpha,
very stubborn
alphas that, you know, shouldn't be collaborating on anything.
That's what I was going to say. You need a sponsor for all this. Collaborative divorce attorneys will love what you guys have to say.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, the collaborative process was I don't want to say newish, but
right, it wasn't hot then.
It wasn't
13
hot.
Years
it wasn't
ago,
part
it
of the floor. Now it's part of the floor statute.
It's an
right?
option, yes.
And it was back then. It's just, and for those who don't know, collaborative divorce is just a different way of approaching divorce where you actually sign a contract that says you are
like
going to work together.
Divorce without courts.
Mm-hmm. Divorce without courts. You're going to work together.
Gotcha.
Instead of the typical, I'm going to call my lawyer is going to call her lawyer's, you know, the game right. telephone, right?
Right?
We all know how that goes with translation.
Ching, ching.
Right. And so you sign a contract that said you're going to work together in a room with a mediator and go through all the points. And so it's a big, it was newish at the time. It's nice. Here, part of the statute. If anything, forget the book. Try collaborative process first, right?
Absolutely. Well, I love talking with you guys.
Yeah,
well,
thank you so much for having us.
Great stuff. Proof positive. We can all get along. Thanks for hanging out with us on the PG Parental Guidance Needed podcast. Talk to you soon.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.